As you take a seat, let's open up our Bibles to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. Hello to all of you that are at home and online. Delighted that you get to be with us today, and really excited to be in your living room as well, along with the big crowd that we've got here on a really, really beautiful day. I was just talking to the Trickett sisters over here a second ago about how beautiful the clouds are that are up in the sky as they are moving by. You need to, when I get boring, just look up, because God's got some glory going on right above your head, and it's pretty wonderful, pretty wonderful. You know, our church is about to enter in to a new phase of ministry that we have not experienced for quite a while. And that phase of ministry is we are going to open our facility back up again pretty soon. Now, part of the reason that, was that a celebration? Yay. Yeah. We are excited about doing that. Not because we don't enjoy being out here, in the sunshine. I mean, let's face it, last weekend, I think, where my sister lived, they got like 40 inches of snow. Can you imagine? 40 inches of snow over the course of the weekend. And we were really bummed out, because it was like, you know, 62, 63 degrees last Sunday. And that was really freezing for us. We had to parka up, because of that. No, we love it. We love being outside. However, we know that for families, especially families with children, being inside and being able to have your kids over in kids ministry makes a huge difference in being in this, you know, rather than being in this parking lot. It's hard to wrangle little kids and get them to kind of focus. Those of us that don't have little kids anymore, we're like, yeah, the parking lot's perfectly fine. We just don't remember what it's like to have the little ones that are running around. And sometimes that works, and then on other Sundays it doesn't, But what we do know is this: it's really exhausting for families. They've told us that. It's also really difficult for people that are, you know, age challenged. They're a little bit older. And for some of them, you know, being out here in the elements, being out here in the sun, being exposed to whatever, the wind, the sun, the cold, the heat, whatever it is, it's a little rough. And so we want to be back inside, because it allows us to be together as a whole family. Not just with everybody that can kind of be in the middle, but everybody that can be on both sides of the middle as well. It allows us to be together as a family, and we're getting close. Our sanctuary right now is being recarpeted. I don't know if you've had a chance to just look in one of the windows or one of the doors, but if you look in there, you'll see some new carpeting on the floor in the sanctuary. You'll see new flooring in the lobby. It's looking pretty awesome. But we still have a ways to go. We've still got weeks and weeks of construction that are going on inside the facility. So at least through Easter, we plan on being outside. We plan on being out here. But after that, we plan on making a transition. And here's why I think it's such a huge transition for us. Because nobody in this church has served inside of that building in a ministry in the past year. We have been over a year removed from being inside of that building, which means all of the ministries that we had going on with kids, with teenagers, with adults, with small groups, all of it has not met inside of this building, which means almost everybody that was a volunteer has either quit because they just were stepping out of it until COVID was over, or practically speaking, you quit, right? We just haven't had anything. Like, nobody's done anything. So everybody's kind of been off. And now we're starting up again. And so we've begun to put out those little feelers. Hey, would you like to be involved? And you know what we're hearing back? Gosh, I really love my living room. This has been a dramatic change for me. And I really love, like, not having to go to church as long on Sunday morning. I love going to church for just like an hour. That's awesome. We get to go to lunch together. We go to breakfast together. We do so many cool things together. On and on and on it goes. So this morning, part of the reason that I'm coming to you is because we need to be able to get back to doing ministry in a way that is on behalf of other people. We need to get back to doing ministry that is for the children and for the families, that is for the elderly and for those that cannot move around as easily. We're actually building a facility that has an ADA bathroom in the lobby, which will replace our old library, so that families have a place where they can use the restroom together, where kids and moms and dads can be in the restroom at the same time, or someone that's in a wheelchair can be in there. We want people to have better access to everything that we have going on at Long Beach Alliance. That's why we're doing the renovations that we're doing. We want to be able to spread the gospel to as many people as possible. We want to use the millions and millions of dollars of facility that we have in order to accomplish that. But it will require re-engagement. And so I know this morning I'm going to be speaking again on spiritual giftedness. However, I'm talking to you. I'm talking right to you this morning. What are you doing in your church? Everybody should be involved in serving in their church. Every single person. Now, it may not be in children's ministry. It may not be in youth ministry. That may not be what your, you know, spiritual shape looks like. You might be involved in something else. Maybe it's our women's ministry. Maybe it's our men's ministry. Maybe it's something that we haven't even thought up yet. I mean, Sean Caraville, you got anything? You got a ministry that you can start? Like, I want to make sure that as I'm speaking this morning, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. That you're listening to what God is stirring in your heart. Because maybe God's stirring a ministry in your heart that we've never had before. See, we're not going backwards. Oh, tell them I'll call back. We're not going backwards in time. We're not trying to get back to where we were before. We're moving forward to see where God's got us next. And so as you listen this morning, as you consider what the Word of God has to say, I want you to consider, where is it that God wants me to be serving? Where is it that I can engage? Because the Bible says clearly in Romans chapter 12 that every single person that is a follower of Christ has been empowered with gifts. Gifts that come straight from Christ because He is in your life and are given power or empowerment by the Holy Spirit so they have a supernatural effect. In other words, they're not just for you to feel good or that person to feel good. It's for the building up, the larger building up of the kingdom of God. I've tried to break the gifts down into categories this morning. And it's going to feel a little bit like I'm teaching more than preaching today. Occasionally I will step back and do a little bit of that just to make sure that we've got the content that allows us to make smart decisions. But I want to remind you, listen for what God is stirring in your heart. Listen for where God wants to be using you. Take a look at Romans chapter 12, because I want us to anchor in the text. Romans chapter 12, I'll start reading in verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness or with joy in their heart. What is this talking about? Well, I want to point out to you another quick passage that is over in the book of Ephesians. It says that Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, to equip the church for the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. I want to take those categories because they're repeated again by the apostle Paul right at the end in verses 27 and 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, they're repeated, that the body of Christ that we are all individually members of, that God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles. Notice that he changes from being like kind of roles and offices, and he changes into works, like stuff that people do. Miracles, healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. What are we talking about here? Well, first off, I want to talk about the spiritual offices that fill a church. To this day, after 2,000 years since this was written, to this day, every single role in the church fits in to the categories that are listed in Scripture. Those categories are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors or shepherds, and teachers. Five or so different categories, maybe six if you want to break up pastors and shepherds, although I'm not totally sure why you would do that. But pastor, shepherd being kind of one thing, and then teachers. Apostles, what's being talked about in the Scriptures? The Scriptures are actually borrowing a word. It was a word that was used for naval expeditions. When a sailing ship went out on a naval expedition, it was usually sent to some place for some purpose, for some reason. We would call it nowadays, the ship has orders. It has orders to go and do something. Well, the New Testament writers kind of picked up on that idea that a ship was being sent as a vessel, like an ark, sailing across the ocean of the world and arriving at its destination with whatever it was supposed to do. They kind of jumped onto that word that is apostle, and they took hold of it and kind of took hold of it for the Christian church and said, this is what God has done. He has set his word in an ark, which are people, and he has put us out into the waters of the world, and he has sent us with a mission to go to a place with the purpose of spreading the gospel. In the very earliest church, the apostles were the eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ, sent by Jesus Christ himself. You already know about the disciples, 11 of them sent out as apostles. You also know about the Apostle Paul, the writer that we've been studying. All of this is meant to illustrate that there are certain people that are sent out in the church or sent out to a place to establish the church where no church at all exists, where nothing is going on. Now, it's not the same as the apostles of the New Testament. Let's not mix that up. There's a gift that is probably being sent out, which we would probably call missionary, just to give it a little bit of distinction. But an apostle was someone that when they wrote a letter, it carried the weight of Jesus. It carried the weight of the Word of God. It says in God's Word that men were carried by the Spirit and wrote down what the Spirit breathed into them. And those words that were breathed out onto the pages of Scripture are what you hold in your hand and can have great confidence in, because it was not just delivered by some Yehu, it was delivered by an apostle. That's how we measure what we study every single week of our lives. The apostles, sent out ones, messengers of Christ. God gave them to the church as a gift, so they could go into a location and start the church from scratch. Whatever gifts were needed, they had them. Whatever they needed to be equipped with, they had it. The Spirit took care of things through them completely. In addition to this were prophets, those that proclaimed divine matters, those that took the Word of God and brought insight to it that could not be known normally. It was insight that was beyond what a normal person could possibly know. It had to have come from God. The prophets are also the writers of Scripture. We even call many of the Old Testament writers, we just call the prophets. It's like shorthand for the people that received the Word of God and wrote it down onto paper for other people. And then there are the evangelists, those that proclaim the good news to the lost. And now, let me remind you, these are offices. Have you seen very many pastors of evangelism? Have you seen very many church roles where an evangelist is paid by a church to just do evangelism in the local community? That's perhaps an area that we could use some development in. I was talking to several local pastors, and we were talking about maybe pooling money together between the churches so that we could have an evangelist that just helps all the churches in a local area to reach out to their neighbors in the name of Jesus Christ. We probably are, as I consider the roles and the offices that God has given to the church, I would say that evangelist is probably one of our weakest. Pastors and shepherds. The pastors were the guardians of the people. They guarded both the message and they guarded the people. They oversaw the flock, so to speak, of God. And finally, the teachers, the great guardians of the word, the scholars that existed within the church. There's something different from preaching to teaching. Teaching is very content focused. Preaching is very exhortation focused, encouragement focused, calling you to something focused. That's what the pastor shepherd is called to do. But there are teachers there. We need to be students of the Word of God, and the teachers in the church help us with these things. I saw in the worship guide, John Carroll's got a class that he's teaching. Luke Schaub has been writing our growth group guides for years. He's a teacher of the Word. Provides us with the content that we need to have the conversations with each other that are salted with the Word of God so that we have spiritual conversations and not just talk about the Dodgers and the Angels and the Rams and the Chargers or whatever it is that fills your heart and mind with excitement. This list is not exhaustive. Just because it says pastor here does not mean that our church has to be limited to one pastor. It's modifiable. In a different place, it uses a different list of roles. What does that say to us? That in different locations, there were different applications of the same kind of truth. That God has equipped the church, and He does so uniquely depending on what's going on at that church. Which is why we have a youth pastor. Can you find youth pastor in the Bible? No, you cannot. Didn't exist in the Bible, as far as we know. There were no youth pastors back then. But because of the way the Holy Spirit is at work in the church today, in many churches you will find youth pastors or Megan Brearley's role as a children's pastor. You will find these all over the place in churches nowadays, but you'll never see them in the Scriptures. Why? Is it because we're just running amok? We've just gone crazy? We just decided, whatever, we're going to do our own thing? And it just has to kind of loosely line up with the Bible? Not at all. The Lord equips each individual church and the church at large that is His, the Big C Church. He equips them for the work of ministry, and He gives gifts to churches so they can specifically accomplish ministry. All leadership falls under these roles. What has God called you to either fall under or to lead? Each of these first five areas are areas of leadership. They're areas that are meant to express the roles that leaders adopt in relation to the church, the ways that God has chosen to work through people in His church. And He does so with the next bracket of gifts, which are the leadership gifts that are often associated with the roles that I just spoke about. A missionary role, an apostleship. I'm just using that loosely, as in those that are sent out from the church. These are people that are spiritually gifted at cross-cultural ministry. Can I get a little amen for Kelly and Diana over there? Right. They're working in a cross-cultural environment over in Garden Grove with people that largely come from an Islamic background. And they're loving them and making friends with them, and they're gifted to work with them. They're sent out by the church and gifted to establish the church where there is not currently anything going on. Missionaries are often some of the most gifted and extraordinary people because they have so many gifts that they can take it out into some place where there's nothing going on, and they're able to actually put together the structure of the church so that it will flow from that moment and into the future. We want to be a church that is sending people out with the gospel so that they can start up the church or support the church in all kinds of places where the church is not flourishing, where the church is not thriving. We are the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I love that just this last week, our denominational president, and I'm not a super big denominational guy, but I love what our president had to say. He was talking about some different changes that they're making, mostly editorial, to be honest, but they're making some changes, some small key additions to our statement of faith. In some cases, some small subtractions, but in this case, an addition about the person of the Holy Spirit, the divine person of the Holy Spirit, sent to indwell, guide, and teach. Now, that was already in there before, but listen to what they added in. They added in the word gift, that the Holy Spirit has been sent to gift the believer. And they also added in that the Holy Spirit has been sent to gift the believer and to bear His fruit, the Holy Spirit's fruit in our lives. Have we not been studying this stuff? And our whole denomination is aligning with that kind of a perspective, a biblical perspective on what it is that the Holy Spirit does in our midst. It excites me. I get thrilled about it. It's consistent with John 16. It's consistent with what Jesus Christ said about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, and 16. The spiritual gift of evangelism. Every person is called to share their faith. Every one of you. But there are some that are gifted. There are some that when they share their faith, they have extraordinary conversations with other people. Now, some of you are not having extraordinary conversations because you don't even know that you have this gift. Wouldn't that be a bummer? Go to heaven and you find out the Holy Spirit was trying to gift you the whole time and you just didn't do anything with it. You just kept your mouth shut. Just didn't engage, try, explore, seek out, look for, put yourself out there like, okay, I guess I got to trust you. I think I'll say something and see what happens. I'm surrounded by some people in my life that are gifted in evangelism. When they share their faith, people are so responsive. Some people think they're gifted in evangelism, and they should probably shut up, right? But see, we're so scared of being those people that we tend to just never say anything. Christian, every one of us is called to wear our faith. But some of you, you actually know how to engage people in a way that you show them that you care about their heart. And when you care about somebody's heart, they're going to want to hear about why. And somebody, whether it was your parents or a friend, Somebody cared about your heart enough to share the gospel with you. And Jesus is calling some of you to express your giftedness in being an evangelist. Again, probably the weakest area as I think of the construct of our church and where we are headed. How delightful it would be to see more and more of us expressing the leadership role of evangelist and the spiritual gifting of evangelism. Take a risk. Prophecy and wisdom, the ability to interpret God's will, in other words, to take the content of the Scriptures and apply it to a modern day situation, what we would basically call wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take what's in the Scriptures and to have it contextualized into the modern day. Many of us do this only in retrospect. We think back on our lives and we think, oh, I see Jesus there. The person that is gifted in prophecy is able to, right in the moment, see Jesus at work and respond immediately to what's going on. They're immediately in that place of carrying the Word of God into people's lives. The prophet is, I know we get freaked out by that word because we think, oh, that's a person that's telling us things about the future. I actually think that fits under a completely different category. But that's not what we're talking about here. Prophecy has to do with the will of God. That's an agreement right there. Amen. High five. Prophecy has to do with the will of God. And the will of God is spelled out clearly in Scripture. It's not hidden. It's not some sort of scavenger hunt that you're on to like, oh, let's figure out what the will of God is. That's not how it works. God has revealed who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to have a relationship with Him, what our relationship to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is supposed to be. It's all right here. It's all in His Word. The person that's gifted in prophecy can encounter anything in our culture. Child trafficking, pornography, the greatest wickedness of our lifetime, abortion. That you can counter any of it. And they can find the grace of God. And they can find where they can speak into it from the Word of God. They can contextualize it right to today. They are precious people because they take that the great need of our day, which is not to be knowledgeable about the Word of God. It is to apply it and to live it. Leadership and administration, to direct, to rule over something, to provide direction to a group or to even to a small group. It even includes like kind of management ideas. Leadership and management are two totally different gifts, but they kind of fall into this category. Leadership is the person that can, they're just, hey, I'm going this direction, follow me. I'm following Christ. Remember when Paul said that? Paul says that in the New Testament. I want you to follow me because I'm following Christ. Woo! That is a gutsy statement. I mean, talk about being terrified as a leader. That's how that makes me feel. That makes me nervous. That makes me drive different. Like, that changed a lot, right? In your life. A manager is maybe different than that. Manager is a little more consensus building, a little more group building, actually a little nicer, frankly. Leaders are a little tough to be around sometimes. I know some of you are married to them, so I know what that's like. To be around leaders is challenging for me. I tend to be more of a consensus builder, and it drives the leaders around me nuts. Like, just go. Like, oh man, we all got a hug. You know, that kind of thing. So this is that area of those gifts. Where's God leading you? What's God stirring in your heart? The teacher, the preacher, the one who exhorts. I've already talked about it a little bit. But this is a spiritual gift of being compelling. The Bible uses the word zeal. Like, if you're going to If you're going to bother saying something, show some heart about it. Don't look like you are getting a root canal when you talk about Jesus. Don't like furrow your brow and make it all super like, you know, Ben Affleck, Batman intense, like, you know, it's not like that. Let it breathe. I now want to transition to what I think are the secret spiritual gifts. The quiet ones. The behind the scene ones. The spiritual gifts that maybe nobody knows about, but you still need to use. That you still need to trust the Lord in these areas. Because sometimes, because they're so secret and they're so behind the scenes and they're so like not flashy, you get discouraged. And you feel like nobody cares. In everything we do, whether it's eat or drink or in everything that we do, do it to the glory of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or completer of your faith. Let's not look at each other for all of our good strokes. I mean, it's nice to get a pat on the back, but keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Giving. I don't know what anybody in this church gives except for me. If you're giving a bunch of money and you expect me to be excited about it, they don't tell me anything. And I don't want them to. That's private, right? That's private information for you. But some of us are gifted in giving. When we get our stimulus check from the government, we do not think, what can I buy? We think, why has God given me this money so that I can use it for His kingdom? Now, if you got your stimulus check like I did this last week, that is not meant to be guilt-inducing. But it is meant to say, have you considered? Have you considered what God is calling you to with that money? We got a bunch of it. I don't know when we have to pay all this money back. But anyway, conversation for another day. Hospitality, using what you have for the sake of the Lord. Prayer and intercession. That's a whole sermon, so I'm just going to, it seems fairly self-evident, but I will say that there are certain people that are gifted prayers. They're gifted intercessors. Do you know who they are? Because trust me, if you're having a hard time in your life, if you're having a hard time walking with God, you want to know who those people are. You want them praying for you. You don't want to just send an email to prayer@lbac.org. That goes out to a whole pile of people, some of who are gifted and some who are not. You want people that pray for you, that you can trust your life to. Faith, a depth of faith, an ability to trust God, to trust God in great and amazing ways. I have to hold up one of our elders. I got to hold up Scott Slade. He's going to hate me for this, but he's a man of great faith. When he lost his job and was in transition between jobs back before he retired at like 40, but back when he still worked and he was in between jobs, he just trusted God. He wrote a journal about it. He wanted to see what God was up to. He expressed faith without panic. With great depth. You also want those people around you, don't you? Because they, when you see their anchoring in Christ, it helps you be anchored in Christ. Service and mercy. Some of these are a little self-evident. I'm not going to go into big explanations. The next section are the sign gifts. These are areas where darkness, and I speak of spiritual darkness, demonic darkness, wickedness, that you've participated in or that is trying to engage your life from the outside in. These are powerful signs against spiritual darkness and dark forces. They're meant for building the church, and they're supernatural by definition. You can't read through these and not think that they're not just extraordinarily supernatural gifts. How do you know if you have these? It's rather self-evident. It's consistent with what it says in the Scriptures, but it's also self-evident. You don't have to really think about these too much. These can be developed, but they're often expressed spontaneously. A word of knowledge. Speaking into a church's life, speaking into the direction, speaking into an individual's life in a way that is supernatural, that has been given to you by God to speak into another person's life, is a horribly abused gift in the church. My mentor, Dave Holmes, had a girl walk up to him in his freshman year when he was at college and say, "God told me that we're going to get married." You know what I mean. When people say things like, "God's telling me to do this. God's telling me to leave my wife. God's telling me to do this thing that is not right. I would caution you. A word of knowledge is easily abused. What is it? It's when the Spirit of God is speaking into the heart of somebody else's life and you are voicing supernatural insight into their life. Physical healing. James chapter 5 covers this really, really well, so I'm not going to belabor it. But if you are ever sick, I would call on you to read James chapter 5 and to call on your elders. And we will gather around you and we will pray over you. And we will immerse ourselves into what is going on in your life and ask God to physically heal you. Sign miracles, spiritual discernment. And by that I mean being able to discern whether or not something is spiritually of the Lord or spiritually of the world or darkness. Speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues. Now, by the way, I'm just taking the New Testament on this, where speaking in tongues was the ability to express the gospel in a foreign language. And then it was heard by those that were listening in their mother tongue so they could understand the gospel. But the speaker was being gifted by God to miraculously express the gospel in a language that they had not previously learned. I'm just taking it that way. I know Paul refers to, you know, that he spoke in tongues more than anybody, and that he spoke in tongues of angels and of men and all kinds of other things. And some of you got all kinds of questions about, you know, I've got this prayer language and stuff like that. I'm not talking about any of that right now. I'm just talking about what it's talking about in the book of Acts and in different places in the New Testament where it talks about tongues for the purpose of the gospel that are interpreted to build up the church. These gifts that are in that sign gift category are often expressed in spiritually hostile environments. And honestly, they take a lot of... They require a great deal of sensitivity in their expression. And finally, the two gifts that nobody wants. Well, maybe not nobody, but... The gift of celibacy. Or being single. I bet you most of us thought that was a curse, not a blessing. So if you are single today and of marriageable age, could I call on you to consider this as a call of God in your life? Maybe God's gifting you with this. Now, if that's just absolutely a nightmare to you, maybe He's not. It's not a gift that I would have run toward. Those of you that knew me when I was single rejoiced mightily in the Lord the day I got married. I agree. So did I. So do I. But there are people like the Apostle Paul. He said, "I wish you were gifted like I am. I am single and I wish that you could maintain that. I wish that you would remain in that because you could give all of yourself to the Lord. You would not be distracted by the things of this world. By the relationships that are around you. You'd just be able to do all, you'd have all your efforts that you could pour in just for the sake of the gospel." I mean, he burned for that. And he calls his own singleness a great gift from God. And of course, the one that's really not authenticated until it happens, the gift of martyrdom, a great gift to the church, and a gift that, according to the book of Revelation, is held in the highest regard and with the greatest tenderness for future justice for his church by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blood of the martyrs is one of the most precious things in the sight of God. And when I was younger, I thought, I could totally die for Jesus. No big deal. Then I met Melinda, and death was not so exciting to me. And then I had children. And occasionally death was exciting to me, but not all the time, right? And now I'm getting older. I'm hoping that I see grandchildren someday. God, the Bible says, gifts us through the Holy Spirit for whatever is needed in the moment. Whatever is needed in the moment. Maybe it's a gift you've never utilized before. Don't just shut the door on it. Don't just say, that's not a gift that God would ever do in my life. Please, please, please. Hear the way that God gifts the church. Hear the diversity of gifts that He gives to different churches. Hear what God is doing and ask yourself, what has God gifted me to do? What has He gifted me for? In the context of Long Beach Alliance. Because we're going back in that building, and it's no good if our backs are turned to this community. It's no good if we use this building just to be a safe haven for Christians to hang out in. We want to use our gifts to build up the church, which means we look out and we expand for the sake of the gospel. Because you'll never see a church in the New Testament that wasn't doing that. They were all looking out. They were all expanding for the gospel. It was all about taking it to the streets. That's who we are. It's in our DNA. So before you say, oh, that's not me, but is it the Holy Spirit in you? Because the Holy Spirit has gifted you, and He is going to equip you so that you can use your gifts in the context of Long Beach Alliance Church for the great glory of God. We spent a lot of time in this section of Scripture talking about the character and the giftedness, the fruit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings into the midst of our lives. If you want to serve, if you are interested in getting involved, if you just feel like God is burning something in your soul, we've got cards that are right over there. Put your name down. Tell us what God's doing. If you're a jack of all trades, just let us know. We got stuff. But when we move back in there, let's make it a new day. Let's make it a new place. Let's make it a new church. We're not going back. We're moving forward. The world has changed. We have changed. And this is going to be a changed church. So let's grab hold of that and allow the Holy Spirit to gift us for what's coming next. I want to read these verses to you because they inspired me as I was studying. Sorry, should have had a bookmark here. For I am sure that neither death nor life. Worship, folks, you can kind of mosey this way. Thanks. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You are in His hands, and He has gifted you for His church. Let's build His church together. Let's stand. and respond in worship this morning.